Invite you to join me if you wish to follow along in your pew Bible as I read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Let us listen together to the Word of God. Excuse me. Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then Jesus called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's Stewardship Sunday, the day that rolls around each year when we ask you to make your pledge for the coming year. Wow, I think I got tuned out in record time. Okay, let me try something else. Imagine the watch. You are getting sleepy. 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 Okay, never mind. That worked too well. Better not use hypnotism. So when I count to three, you will be wide awake, okay? One, two, three. Okay, now I have your attention. I want to share with you a new approach to this whole stewardship thing. It may seem a little late for a stewardship sermon, since today is the day we're all supposed to be turning in our pledge cards for next year, but since giving to the church is something we do every week, right? So it's always a good time to think about stewardship. And I've been giving a lot of thought to how we can maybe take our cues from the rest of the world and instead of falling off our own fiscal cliff in the coming year, let's think of some new options of how we can give our money to the church. So I've come up with a couple of plans here. Plan A, pay as you go. This plan allows you to approach your giving to the church in the same way you shop at the grocery store or mall. The benefit of this plan is that you only have to pay for the parts of the church life from which you actually benefit. So with Plan A, every component of the church is given a specific price. We assign a separate monetary amount to the coffee and donut holes, for instance, and the Sunday school classes, and the nursery, and the prelude, and the anthem, and the other music, even the prayers, and the sermon, and the children's message. In addition, we figure out how much it costs per person to keep the building warm in the winter and cool in the summer, and then we charge each of you your allotment. That goes for the electricity, and the lighting, and I hate to say this in church, but the number of times you use the bathroom, including how much water it takes when you wash your hands, because I know everyone here washes their hands, right? The fun part about Plan A for those of us who are on staff here, whether paid or volunteer, is that, like in a restaurant, you can give tips when you think you've received some especially good service. So if the greeter gives you a really good smile and a handshake, you can slip a couple bucks into their hand. Just think, if you're the greeter, you get the tip. If your baby gets a diaper change while in the care of the nursery staff, it wouldn't hurt to reward that kind-hearted staff person who took care of business. If the anthem strikes a chord in you, you can reward the musicians with a token of your appreciation. And if, and I know this is a big if, the preacher of the day preaches a particularly inspiring sermon, well, you know what you can do. Oh, okay. You win, Rick. You win. Sorry, this is really cool back here with the lights. You can really see them. Okay. You can pay for your church experiences with cash or use a newly designed app and scan those services directly into your smartphone. We can issue you a debit card, but there will be a monthly service charge. I mean, that's the way it works in the real world, right? So no complaining. One thing I haven't figured out is how we can put a price on prayer, or the music, or the fellowship. So maybe you could help me out. Let me know what these are worth to you, and we'll get a price list put together. Okay, how about Plan B, the fitness center, country club approach? Well, many of you belong to organizations that charge an admission fee along with a yearly rate. That's how a lot of these health and fitness centers work. In order to join, you have to pay a one-time, non-refundable admission fee. On top of that, there is this yearly fee, which you can pay in monthly increments or all at once. So when you join the church, we'll give you 3 free one-day passes so you can bring a friend, no charge. And if you get that friend to join the church, we'll give you a 10% discount on one monthly payment, just like the health clubs. Okay, there's an easy little problem with Plan B. Somehow I have to figure out how we're going to get people to stand at the doors of the church and check membership cards as folks come in. I mean, we need to be extra sure that non-members don't try and slip past the Welcome Center. That wouldn't be fair to all the paying members, would it? And above all, we want to be fair. Plan C, the season ticket holder. Now, here's a plan for all you sports fans. We'll designate a certain number of pews, and then each year we'll sell season tickets. The more you pay, the better seat you get. And the nice thing is that you are guaranteed to have the same place in the same pew every week. Nobody else is allowed to sit in your seat. Yeah. I see we've got some sign-ups right away. We can even bring communion, coffee, and donut holes right to you. Of course, if you're one of those people who prefer the bleacher seats out in the fellowship hall, you'll just have to take your chances. Now, if it turns out, and this would be great, if we have more people who want season tickets than there are available pews, we can hold a lottery. And only those lucky people whose names are drawn from the hat are eligible for that year's season tickets. So if you don't get in this year, well, there's always next year. Isn't that what the Cubs fans are always saying? Sorry. I'm a Cubs fan too. Next year. Now, the beauty of this plan is that we know exactly how many seats there are, and we can figure out how much they cost, so we don't have to estimate how much money the church will bring in any given year. We'll know exactly the amount we have to work with within our budget. And if we need more money, we'll raise the ticket prices, perhaps to pay for all these high-priced preachers. Well, that's the way it works in the sports world. Of course, you'll still have to pay for food and souvenirs, including those. We're going to make up some special keepsake worship bulletins, and we'll rename them the program. Get your program, everyone. Every now and then, we'll have special days with free giveaways. For instance, if you decide to have your child baptized at the church, we give you a keepsake candle and cradle cross. Wait, we already do that. Maybe we can make an arrangement with Starbucks and offer Starbucks Sunday when we give away free samples of coffee. I'm not even a coffee drinker, but hey, I'd do it for you. Okay, there's one more plan I want to lay before you, and I hesitate because unlike these three new well-thought-out plans, this last one is just ridiculous. It's downright embarrassing. But since it is the scripture lesson for the day, I feel obligated to share it with you. In the passage that I read just shortly ago, Jesus is not far off from being crucified, and he knows that time is running out and every moment counts. He's giving the disciples a cram course in Discipleship 101, and they've been having a hard time getting the concept. There in the hustle and bustle of the Jerusalem marketplace, with people pushing and shoving and shouting and sweating and carrying on all kinds of business transaction, Jesus takes a brief moment and sits down opposite the treasury, not next to it, as far away as he can get and still see what's going on. And what he sees is this. Lots of rich people throwing handfuls of coins into the receptacle, perhaps seeing how much racket they can make with their clanging coins, drawing attention to themselves. And as these people go striding past, pitching in their coins with great drama, a poor, obscure, nameless widow tiptoes quietly to the treasury and gently places her two pitiful coins among the rest of all that wealth. She doesn't have a clue that Jesus is watching. She has no idea that what she's doing is being seen, and she'd be horrified if she did know. She slips back through the crowd and disappears. But Jesus noticed. He calls his disciples over. This is a teaching moment. And he tells them about the poor widow who gave everything she had. Two coins. Two coins, they say. Is that all? What's the big deal? The big deal is this, Jesus says. Everyone else gave out of their abundance, out of what they had extra. They gave what looked like and was a lot of money, but it didn't affect them, not really. The widow, however, gave all that she had, everything. Now, do you see why I say that the kind of giving Jesus admires is so far-fetched? Ask people to dig into their savings accounts and vacation funds and entertainment money, to dig past all of that, even deep down to where we have to make a choice whether to give to the church or pay our bills. It's crazy. Impossible. That kind of request ain't gonna fly, so sorry I even brought it up. I think we should just go back to plans A, B, and C. Sometimes people get insulted and unnerved when the church asks for money. We get accused of being just another business. And if you consider the fact that we do need money to operate, yes, then the church is like any other business. But if you compare the way we do things at the church with the way the rest of the world functions, I think you'll see that the church is not at all like the business world. Are your banks and telephone companies as understanding if you skip a mortgage payment or don't pay your phone bill? Do we send your account to a collection agency if you fail to meet your pledge? Do we bombard your inbox and mailbox with endless requests for contributions or charge you a late fee if you turn in your offering envelope a few weeks late? No. Wouldn't think of it. But come to think of it, maybe Jesus' plan is the only one that will really work in the church. Maybe Jesus was onto something when he pointed out the poor widow and, in essence, blessed her gift because she gave from the heart. And did you notice? Jesus didn't say we have to give everything we have in that sense, but that we should give from the heart. You know, we don't want to be an exclusive club that welcomes only those who pay their dues. We don't seek to charge for services rendered. I mean, who can put a price on prayer? Who can figure out what it's worth to hear a piece of music that makes your spirit soar? Who can place a dollar amount on what Jesus gave to us, his life? And I can't. I'm not even going to try. But Jesus asks us to give from the heart, to give because we want to give like that poor widow who gently placed her two coins in the treasury, because no matter how much or little we have, it would never cross our minds not to give. What Jesus asks is not some new approach to giving as much as it is a new approach to living. That's the kind of business the church is in. New life. No charge. Guess what? It's free. Because Jesus already picked up the tab. Will you pray with me? Lord, for your gifts, which we could never price, we thank you. For you have given us what is priceless, your life. May we respond in joy and gratitude all the days of our lives, in Christ's name. And let all God's people say, Amen.